Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Recording. I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to be bringing you an update about the latest. We have Donald Trump announcing he's going to run again for president of the United States in 2024. No surprise there. However, there are any number of us who really wanted more. I was hoping he'd come out with all guns blazing, attacking the theft of the midterm election in 2022, which was, if anything, even more egregious, blatant, and obvious than the theft of the election in 2020, for which we have overwhelming evidence. Also, I believe it's indispensable he should denounce the vax, explain how the CDC has misled the American people, as well as the FDA, the NIH, the WHO, wholesale assault on the genocide being perpetrated, and to apologize for his role in Warp Speed. He has an excellent excuse or explanation of having been misled, but at this point in time, the evidence is so egregious, so overwhelming. He needs to come clean with the American people, and he needs to do it now. Meanwhile, the FBI admits they found nothing in the raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. It was a stunt. I wonder if the fact the midterm elections are over has anything to do with it. Leading up to 2022, there was nothing but leaks and speculation Trump was attempting to sell U.S. nuclear secrets. But now the Democrats have stolen the election. It was all a big nothing burger. Surprise, surprise. In August, an FBI team headed by a Russian collusion hoax specialist raided Trump's Florida home, claiming he had stolen classified materials. The liberal media, citing unnamed sources, claimed it was the most sensitive information our country has, said Trump was trying to sell it to Saudi Arabia, Russia, and China, which is just about as absurd as it gets. That was before the midterms, however, when it could hurt Republicans by tarnishing Trump. Now that everything is safe and secure, the Washington Post has dumped this interesting tidbit, to wit, That review has not found any apparent business advantage to the types of classified information in Trump's position. FBI interviews with witnesses so far do not point to any nefarious effort by Trump to leverage, sell, or use the government secrets. Instead, the former president seemed motivated by a more basic desire not to give up what he believed was his property. So, no nuclear secrets or intel assets? How shocking. People familiar with the matter caution. The investigation is ongoing with no final determination. But what could be more obvious than that this was another stunt that was simply intended to create a false impression that Trump might have done something untoward in relation to national security? It was ridiculous from the beginning. If you recall, this all began when the National Archive claimed Trump had taken material when he left a White House they claimed belonged to them. He turned it over, but the archive claimed there was more than the FBI raided, all to create a phony pretext and plausible deniability for a blatantly political stunt. Trump took documents related to him, confirmed by the Washington Post. It was never all the crazy shit the liberal media made it out to be. In fact, before the raid had happened, both the archives and the FBI knew it was personal information. Yet the FBI made it out to be an act of treason, fed the liberal media explosive leaks to fuel hysterical headlines. One more illustration of the politicalization of the FBI and of the Department of Justice under the Biden administration. This is disgusting. Why would the FBI do something like that? Aren't they supposed to be an unbiased, nonpartisan, objective law enforcement agency? The easy answer? Biden has weaponized the DOJ against his political enemies. The FBI was already pretty corrupt. The raid was a political move to discredit Trump and damage the Republicans before the midterm, when the Democrats were bracing for an ass-whooping. It turned out they had more tricks up their sleeve to rig the midterm, but this was one component. Now that they have successfully stolen the election, it's okay to tell the truth. The Trump raid was not that big a deal. Meanwhile, the Republicans have but narrowly taken control of the House of Representatives. Bear in mind, Newt Gingrich, who's a pretty astute guy politically, was predicting that the GOP would take as many as 5 seats in the Senate and 45 in the House. I thought those numbers might be even larger. Meanwhile, however, given the massive theft of the election, which I'm going to review aspects of today again, the GOP has eked out the 218 seats needed to take control of the House. They held on to a number of swing states, not surprising victories in others, flipping seats in states like Arizona, New York, and Oregon. It would have been massive had it been a legitimate election. James Carville, for example, claimed that Donald Trump had saved the Democrats from losing 57 additional seats. Well, let me guarantee you, what he's saying is the Democrats were able to thwart the Republican success in 57 seats. That gives you an indication of the enormity of the theft. Just contemplate. Barack Obama in his first midterm, where Obama was widely admired, unlike Biden, who's massively held in contempt, where Obama did not have the whole range of issues allied against him, that is the case here. With a massive flood of migrants over the border, with the economy in a shambles, with inflation sky high, with crime rampant and rising, with transgenderism in the schools, parents being attacked and denigrated. My God, revolving door justice with all these Soros-hired district attorneys. There is universal revulsion at what Biden and company have done to the country in only 2 short years, basically destroying America in the process. Nevertheless, Obama had lost 63 seats. Obama had lost 63 seats. So James Carville, in my opinion, is tacitly conceding that they were able to stave off by cheating, of course, which he would never put into words, but he knows damn well is the case. 57 more seats should have gone to the GOP. Republicans have officially flipped a people's house. Americans are ready for a new direction, and the House is ready to deliver, said Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader. Protracted vote counting, primarily in Western states, delayed knowing which party would win control of the lower chamber, whose new members will be sworn in January of 2023. The 218th was called on November 16th when Representative Mike Garcia of California won re-election, defeating Democrat Christy Smith for California's 27th congressional district. Now, Kevin McCarthy may not want to take for granted that he will be the next Speaker of the House. Former Freedom Caucus Chair Andy Briggs is expected to launch a leadership challenge against McCarthy. The Republicans are expected to vote on Tuesday, even though Democrats are working to steal the House. My latest check shows that this has not happened as yet. Just 2 hours ago, McCarthy was holding out hope he would be the next leader of the House. Washington Examiner reported, former House Freedom Caucus Chairman Andy Biggs is likely to run against House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy to become the next Speaker if Republicans lock down a majority. Biggs has been critical of McCarthy's leadership, voicing concern the California Republican won't prioritize issues important to the far right. CNN reported the news of Biggs' likely bid. I think we need to have a real discussion whether he should be Speaker or not. I think his statement that we shouldn't impeach Secretary Mayorkas of Homeland Security indicates we're not going to be as aggressive moving forward as we should be. I think we need to have a very positive statement of what we're going to accomplish and do, and I haven't seen that yet. Those are things I think we should have a frank discussion about. Here are reasons why McCarthy should not be the Republican Speaker. Get these quotes from McCarthy. We're not going to impeach Joe Biden. Another, McCarthy recommended Trump resign after January 6th, then lied about it. Spent millions to defeat pro-Trump Republicans. Booed at a Trump rally following the 2020 election. I don't think anybody is questioning the legitimacy of the election. It's over with. He pushed Rhino Tim Scott for president. He blamed Trump for January 6th. He voted with the Democrats to outsource U.S. jobs, helped to sabotage the mega favorite Madison Cawthorn's reelection effort. Serious stuff. Meanwhile, Carrie Lake is refusing to concede the Arizona gubernatorial race, which is very, very good. She's refusing to concede. In a tweet Monday, she dismissed mainstream projections saying Arizonans know BS when they see it. Senate nominees Blake Master and Secretary of State Mark Fincham have also declined. The Masters is particularly important because as of this moment, the Republicans have 51 seats in the Senate. If Masters were to prevail and overturn, that would return it to 50. And we could have, in the case of Herschel Walker in Georgia then, a 50-50 split again. In fact, I believe that it will be possible to prove many of those Senate seats were stolen. But the problem is, when you have the judiciary too much under the control of the administration, it's going to be a question of finding honest judges and courts that are going to be willing to review the evidence. All three Republicans have raised concerns about election integrity, where Kerry has pointed to issues in Maricopa County, which took days to count all the votes. Here's a tweet. It's an embarrassment. I'm going to fight for the people of Arizona that everybody's vote is counted. This is sacred. This is outrageous what they did here in Maricopa County. Hobbs, who oversees elections in the state, of course, is claiming victory. The very idea Katie Hobbs, as Secretary of State, should be overseeing an election at which she is a candidate is absurd on its face. This ought to be illegal. In fact, I suspect that it is, in fact, and is going to become an issue. Meanwhile, for anyone who thinks that there should have been a close race should consider the following. Carrie Lake on Twitter has 1.11 million followers. Katie Hobbs, 148,000. Carrie Lake on Facebook, 214,000 followers. Katie Hobbs, 11. The idea that it could have been a fair contest where Hobbs prevailed over Katie is absurd. And get this, only 17% of Maricopa Election Day voters were Democrat. Only 23 of the primary election day voters were Democrat, but yet the Democrats are winning 50% of the delayed election day totals. This is simply absurd. It's so blatant, the theft on its face. And I'm pleased to say that William DeBerg is joining me here today to talk about these issues. William, give me your preliminary thoughts about what's happened in Maricopa County and the absurdity of Fetterman prevailing over Oz in Pennsylvania, or of Hobbs prevailing over Lake in Maricopa in Arizona. Your thoughts, William.
Well, first of all, can you hear me, Jim?
Yes, okay. We can.
Okay, so, look, what's there to say? When counting drags on for a week or more, obviously something's remiss, and I think Nevada is another one of those states. Now, Pennsylvania wrapped it up pretty early. I think Pennsylvania was burned in 2016, and also it was unprepared for the landslide Trump had in 2020, so it caused a lot of problems. But they got their act together. They created the fraudulent account and early on. And so it was all wrapped up by midnight, as far as I know. But that doesn't mean it wasn't totally fraudulent. One of the things you have to look at is that the not just the number of the percentage of registered voters who were Democrat or Republican who voted, but also the overall registration. Nationwide, Republicans have had a big shift in their favor. In Pennsylvania, 400,000 net gain for Republicans' registration. It didn't seem to have any impact on the vote total. The exit polls all suggested a big night for the Republicans and all the early voting. Now, in the past, until Trump came along, as far as I know, the absentee ballots, the mail-in ballots were, they were very minor compared to the overall totals, but they were always reflective of the general trends. There wasn't a dramatic shift between one party and the other. But with Trump, all of a sudden, you're not dealing with two parties that are controlled by the same elites. Trump is now a threat to the elites. He is taking over one of the parties. And so now you have to find a way to get rid of those people who support Trump. And it was not just the fraud. It was also, as you say, I just joined you when you were talking about Kevin McCarthy. He wasn't as blatant. Mitch McConnell was very blatant. He picked and chose who he wanted. He did not fund a lot of candidates who were supporters of Trump. He didn't even fund them with his senatorial campaign funds. And he funded Murkowski in Alaska against another Republican. And, you know, that should have Biden in and of itself should disqualify him as a Senate majority leader when he's being very biased towards elements in his party. But he has a lot of power over committee assignments and other things, a lot of IOUs, I guess. And so he won handily. But Rick Scott gave him a, at least he gave him an honest challenge. Okay. Rick Scott didn't get anywhere near the votes that he should have, but he did give him an honest challenge. And to just highlight the difference between a Mitch McConnell and a Rick Scott in 2018 was the whole reason Ron DeSantis was able to become governor. Now, DeSantis also had Trump support and a number of other things, but he was barely hanging on against Andrew Gillum, as you know, who was an addict and also, accused, I think even indicted for corruption. And he was day after day, as the votes came in, late ballots and all, Andrew Gillum started coming closer and closer. And probably with another day, he would have actually become the governor. For think about what that would have happened to the election system in Florida. And Rick Scott as governor then, and he was also running for senator, but he was still governor. He basically ordered Broward County, you're going to shut down the voting now, because they were getting pallets of ballots flown in to the Fort Lauderdale airport. I don't know if you remember when Hannity mentioned all that, the video clips and all. And so he knew what was going on, and he made sure that they shut down the ballot, the counting. And that's what preserved DeSantis' win by a whisker thin margin. And but that really meant opened up for the Republicans that huge opportunity in Florida. And now we saw most of the Republican candidates winning from 15 to 20 points because they started cleaning up, especially Broward County. They started cleaning up the electoral system. But when you have Doug Ducey as the governor in Arizona vetoing voter integrity legislation, you're fighting your own party. And it's not fighting the Democrats. You're fighting your own party as well. And that's what's devastating.
Yeah, well, that's all good stuff, William. Very good stuff. We have so much evidence in Maricopa County. We even have an election judge who believes the machines were programmed to reject ballots. This is Michelle Swinnick, who's come forward to report what she experienced in Maricopa County on Election Day. She worked as a judge at the Islamic Voting Center in Scottsdale, reporting that the center is heavily Republican, with no party designated voters as a second most populous demographic, followed by a very few Democrat voters, evidenced by the fact that she checked in very few on Election Day. She spent the entire day checking in voters. That the tabulators worked perfectly during the test the night before. The problem with scanning began immediately with the first ballots. And remember then, this is a massively Republican district. Voters scanned their ballots between 4 and 12 times with minimal success. Poll workers estimated about 1 in 10 ballots were being read for the first 3 hours of voting. 1 in 10. That means 90% of them were not being recorded. They were given the option to either spoil their ballot and try again or drop them into a different section called Door 3. As for Swinnick, the inspectors had to empty the ballots from Door 3 three times throughout the early afternoon because of the volume of ballots deposited there. Door 3 turns out to be a trash bin, I guarantee you. There's no way those votes were going to be counted. A technician came to the center between 3:30 and 4 p.m. to reboot the machines, after which there were no further issues with ballots being run through the tabulator. One reported told her everything is now going smoothly, no doubt because they'd already succeeded in eliminating a very large number of voters who were going to support the Republicans. An offsite supervisor had advised, because of the situation, to put all Door 3 ballots not scanned through a tabulator into a separate black bag and label them as misreads. She personally signed a sticker placed over the bag zipper, and the bags were sent to the tabulation center to be counted. Well, I have black bags in my house, too. They're known as trash bags, and I'm convinced that's exactly what was going up here.
Okay.
Now,
can I just say a few words?
Here, of course.
Here's the situation. We know there was massive fraud in Maricopa County in 2020. They even, the state senate there, authorized a forensic audit, and they were limited. They were hamstrung. They couldn't even get to the machines because, it was all proprietary stuff. But just looking at the ballots themselves, there were like 70,000 that were illegal ballots. What happened? Nothing ever became of it. And that was so much fraud that you maybe not as much as in 2022, but it was enough to way overthrow the election results and decertify them and all. Nothing happened. Now, we know that these machines, which nobody can seem to break into except the owners, Dominion and other places, We know that they contain illegal software. Dina Peters in Colorado, not during 2020, the next election when it was really obvious that there was a lot of fraud going on, she was told by the Secretary of State, another Katie Hobbs type in Colorado, the Dominion, I believe it was Dominion voting machines, they're going to come and update the machines. And she got suspicious, and they said, delete what you have. And she said, no, it's against the law to delete. So she actually downloaded the software before the update happened. After the update, the software on the Dominion voting machines was very different than what it was during the election. And what they found was a lot of illegal database software, tabulation software. None of that was legal. But whatever happened, nothing ever happened. And what happened was Tina Peters was arrested for downloading and publicizing the results of her, the fraud that was going on. She was actually put in handcuffs. And then when she ran this past spring, she was headed by, 35 points against her opponent. And what happened? She lost. Her opponent was basically a complete unknown and just entered the race, and yet she happened to lose. So the elites have a way of getting rid of people. You know that. They can do it through, assassination. They can do it through physical threats. They can do it through redistricting. They are, I'm not saying they're impregnable, but they're pretty damn close to that.
Well, William, I'm seeking to explain, how they were doing it here in Maricopa County, where we have judge, an election judge, who's obviously prepared to give an affidavit, which is court admissible evidence. Now, get this, how they reassured voters, making them think they had voted, that their vote had counted when it had not. The county set up a website to give them the ability to check that their vote was counted. The problem is, the website wasn't correct. Seems to be using the voters' check-in as evidence their vote was tabulated rather than the actual tabulation of the vote. She offered first-hand proof. We'll be right back with William DeBurg talking about the theft of the election 2022.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer here with William DeBerg talking about the theft of the election. I was explaining how an election judge in Arizona has explained that they were using Box 3, which appears to have been a trash bin, to get rid of votes that weren't being tabulated, and only 1 in 10 were actually being scanned, and the rest were going into Box 3. They also had a method for making voters think their votes had actually counted, but were actually using the check-in. When you checked in to get your ballot, you were recorded as having checked in. So they were actually allowing voters to what they thought was confirming their vote had been counted to use something only recording that they checked in. She offered firsthand proof. My roommate ran his ballot through the tabulator 15 times as one of the first voters at the Islamic Center. It did not read the ballot. He was forced to drop it into Box 3. About an hour after I arrived home at 9 p.m., my roommate checked the website to see if his vote had been counted. The website reported that it was. However, it's mathematically impossible for it to have been counted by then, since only an hour before I left the center, the ballots had not been taken from the center to the meeting point, where ballots are hand-exchanged to another transport team, taking them to the tabulation center. For his ballot to have counted, it would have also needed to be sorted and hand-counted by a team in that center and reported to the website all within the hour. Meanwhile, and Bill, I'm sure you're eager to report on this, tens of billions of U.S. dollars were transferred to Ukraine, and then using FTX, cryptocurrency laundered back to Democrats to use them to steal the midterm election. We have information that tens of billions going to Ukraine were actually laundered back to the U.S. to corrupt Democrats and elites using FTX cryptocurrency. Now the money is gone, and the FTX is bankrupt, and no doubt that's because it had served its purpose. The Democrats sent tens of billions, and you know how eager they were to do that. Now I think we understand, because they were laundering the money back to the Democrats. The company's bankrupt. The funds are nowhere to be found. It was used to steal the midterm. William.
Well, I mean, we know that Ukraine was a money laundering system, was part of a money laundering system, made some heirs to Democratic, very high-ranking poobahs. They made a lot of money off of Hunter Biden and John Kerry's son-in-law. I forget his first name, Hines. But, the CIA sort of owned or had a major presence in Ukraine since really World War II. And even during the height of the Soviet Union, there was a lot of undercover CIA activity paving the way for the later Russophobia that developed. Here's the thing, Jim, and I don't think the litany of fraud is so great. It was so great in 2020, and people, some of my friends who are still Democrats, dislike Trump and all. When it comes to the election, I will stand my ground. I'll just say, look, I saw it on TV. Nobody had to tell me about the electoral fraud. I saw it on TV with Ruby Freeman shooing everybody out and her posse then getting all those fake ballots. I saw the ballot dumping. I was in Sydney, Australia at the time. It was 9 o'clock in the evening, 4 o'clock in Central Time, and it was very dramatic what was happening, all these Biden-only votes, which is really impossible. So, the question is, what are we going to do about it? And here's where January 6th comes into play. January 6th served the FBI and the elites a lot of purposes, one of which was to stop any more protests. What you see in Brazil today or this week, 3 million people on the streets. There's a massive protest going on. And because these protesters do have the ear of the military, the government can't clamp down in a unified fashion as they did on January 6th. But I heard a man from Arizona say, do not go surround the vote center because we know what's going to happen. The FBI will infiltrate. They'll get all the Antifa and other people in there, and it'll create violence, and then it will work against us. And that's the most insidious thing, in my opinion, about January. It prevented large-scale mass protests of these electoral frauds. And, in other countries, when you see the Democratic frauds going on, the first thing people do is, protest in mass around the vote centers. And they can't do that anymore in America because the FBI is ready and waiting with its infiltrators to create a lot of violence that will then put a lot of innocent patriots in jail, as they are sitting now without due process, without bail, in solitary confinement under almost tortured conditions. And that's what the problem is. And I'm not sure what is going to come of it. I just don't expect anything will happen in Arizona. It didn't happen in 2020. And, good on Kerry Lake for not conceding and the rest of them not conceding. But, I just don't see that there's going to be any fundamental change as long as the governorship is held by people who are basically foxes guarding the chicken coop. They're the fraudsters are the ones that are supposed to be eliminating the fraud. They're the ones that are elected by fraud. It's a nefarious catch-22.
Well, we have somewhat of a difference of opinion here. I think that so many voters in Arizona are outraged that if there were to be an opportunity to set things right, it's going to take place there in Arizona, in Maricopa County. The contrast is so glaring. Katie Hobbs was perfunctory, a total mediocrity. CNN even did an interview with Katie Hobbs and then refused to post it because she performed so badly. I would say it was comparable to the debate performance of Fetterman with Oz, where 82% replied, or even 87%, that Oz had prevailed because Fetterman's performance was so absurd. Roger Stone has observed about this. I feel that we're watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history, meaning it's so wholesale. Let me share his thoughts, and then I'll get yours, William. I seriously feel we're watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history, in which all of the key competitive races have had the result directly programmed by the cabal. The most crushing economic conditions, rampant crime, reckless foreign nuclear war flirtations, the most aggressive, perverse assaults on family and parental rights in history, all topped off by an embarrassing, unpopular disaster in the White House, leading a shrill, tin-eared, bellicose fascist junta that appears indifferent to the ordeal they're inflicting on working people, and yet the Democrat monolith is barely dented. Either the country has large states filled with brainwashed zealots who are too stupid and mindless to comprehend the reality of the collective damage they are ratifying with their votes, for at best lackluster, worst appallingly deficient, if not retarded, candidates, or we are seeing direct black box voting manipulation at the level of final tabulations being perpetrated on a scale that renders typical ballot and voter fraud schemes unnecessary anachronisms, as the decisive votes that have now kept the ruling junta largely intact, or at most just a hair from having an operating majority, are literal fabrication piled onto Democrat vote totals by a few keystrokes entered in some master election hacking operation run by icy criminals in league with and part of the Democrat crime syndicate. Expert Mike Lindell brought together have been quite explicit and factually well supporting and laying out how the fraud goes far deeper and far more comprehensive than any sort of ham-handed ballot harvesting, ballot box stuffing, or illegal voting schemes on the ground, which, by the way, were also taking place. I mean, continues Roger, Festerman's supposed win is beyond any rational explanation and defies every known political and electoral principle and truism we have seen hold firm throughout our entire history. Direct, surreptitious, totally undetectable, untraceable digital alteration of final tabulation numbers, obviating any need for any physical intervention or tampering of any kind, are the only viable option to repeal and nullify the sheer popular electoral force of such a galvanizing wave election as this one had been building up to by nearly all empirical indications. I think he's got that right. William, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I certainly agree with what he's saying, except I disagree when he says it's the first manufactured election in American history. 2020 was totally manufactured. We know from the vote tabulations, the strange bumps that went on, the switching and all. There were algorithms at work. And when Tina Peters unloaded her the software on her machines that supposedly didn't have any other software except the legal vote tabulation software, weren't connected to the internet and things like that, it was obvious that there was systematic invasion of these machines with algorithms that were going to create the right outcome. What they have to do then is find a way to get paper ballots, real or not, to match the totals, which they can do. And as long as there's no forensic audit, which there wasn't in 2020, except in Maricopa County, which found all those fraudulent ballots, then they can just say, oh, the election was clean. Now, my question is, again, what are we going to do about it? In 2020, there were over 61 cases filed by top former federal prosecutors, Sidney Powell, Joseph DiGenova, and Rudy Giuliani, plus the president of the United States. Not one was heard. 22 attorney generals file a violation of the Voting Rights Act in the case of Pennsylvania, because the Voting Rights isn't just about protecting minorities. It's about protecting everybody's right to be counted in a fair election. Pennsylvania was violating a Supreme Court order with its counting of the mixing of late ballots and all, and the Supreme Court wouldn't even enforce its own late ballot directive to the state of Pennsylvania. So that tells you that we have a major problem with the court system. Let me get back to one thing, Jim. On your conspiracy conference last year, I remember that interesting talk with Henry Maykow, in which he supposedly read a letter from Jacob Rothschild, or a post. And I don't know if it was 100% true or whatever, but the post was, you know, look, we can do anything we want. We control everything. And, they almost insult us in Maricopa County. They said, oh, the ballots don't fit the machines. Now, really? You're going to find that out on election day? You're not going to do it ahead of time? I mean, it's almost a farce. It's almost an insult to us. So what's going to bring down all this stuff? I think what's going to bring it down is Vladimir Putin. He's going to destroy the society and the economies of Western Europe. He's not going to accept anything less than unconditional surrender. He's done with negotiating with the West, with kissing up to the West. And the United States will also face huge, huge economic collapse. And then finally, people might just not care if the FBI comes and puts them in jail as it did in January 6th. They'll throw their bodies down before the tank, so to speak. And I think that, we see evidence of the high-handedness of the elites backfiring when they went after Ye West and some of the other prominent African-Americans for initially some legitimate, free speech. Now it got a little bit, more into the fringe, but initially it was free speech, and they were destroying Ye West the way they did Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell, when he started investigating the fraud, he said, I lost my suppliers, I lost my retailers, and I lost my lenders. This huge interlocking control of the economy by the elites, it's making it very difficult. But when you start trying to beat down a guy like Kanye West, is probably one of the most famous persons in America, it's not going to be easy to do that. You may be stretching too far, just as they stretched too far in trying to take on Vladimir Putin. I don't think they realized quite what they were getting into. So a lot of things are working against the globalist elites, the Western elites, the Western Banking Alliance. But you know what? I think it's going to have to come from the outside rather than as much I respect what you're doing and all. I just don't think our legal system, I just don't have any faith in it anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, I think those are very appropriate and astute observations. Dave Chappelle, of course, lent support to Kanye West by a Saturday Night Live skit that's absolutely fascinating. It runs about 15 minutes. You can still find it on YouTube and elsewhere. Yeah, really excellent. Meanwhile, analyst Martin Armstrong has warned there might not even be an election in 2024, and that due to massive societal upheaval and financial collapse, the United States will not exist after 2032. Get this. Armstrong, who's correctly predicted several major events, including the 2008 financial collapse, made the comments during an interview with Greg Hunter of USAWatchdog.com. According to the analyst, future elections are in severe doubt of even taking place due to rampant corruption and cheating, along with the likelihood neither side will accept defeat. This is very consistent with your observations, William. The cheating in the midterm, and he was making this announcement a week in advance, is going to be so great it's almost impossible to make a prediction. In a fair midterm election, the Republicans would win the House and the Senate. Revealing he's received emails from people in Canada saying they'd been delivered voting ballots for Pennsylvania. Armstrong is predicting utter chaos. Where this ends up, who knows? It's just so corrupt, it's over the top. It doesn't matter who wins. Nobody is going to accept this thing, and that is the problem. Warning that midterm election won't be accepted, he said Trump won't be able to run in 2024. Because there probably won't be an election due to total loss of confidence in the system. Bolsonaro's defeat in Brazil is proof that all major elections are now being stolen, in a bid to eliminate any world leader who stands against the regime agenda. And he really means a new world order to which you have alluded. This is a worldwide effort. They had to get rid of Trump. The other one who stood in there was Bolsonaro. Then there's Putin and Xi Jinping. I think you're going to have historians look back at this 50 years from now, and they'll call this period the climate change wars. They're trying to take down as much oil energy capacity as possible. His computer modeling is showing huge domestic unrest in the U.S. next year, and the conditions are ripe for a rocket launch of volatility and civil unrest. And while he doesn't use the word, William, he's implying the potential for a civil war. The United States will not exist after 2032, after 2028 and 2029. We're going to have to redesign a government from scratch. America is being destroyed. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't know a specific timetable, but every year, every day, every month that goes by, fewer and fewer people are believing anything out of the mainstream media. And that's a problem for the elites. The social media is even a problem. Zuckerberg's in trouble. Twitter's now under Musk's control. So they're losing ground. They're losing ground all over the world. And, the thing about Bolsonaro, and I actually thought Lula did a good job in his presidential first two terms. Bolsonaro started out as sort of a bit of a tough guy and a little right wing, but he started seeing the larger geopolitical picture. He started shifting his trade to China, and he stood up to Pfizer. Pfizer wanted to take over part of Brazil's, to have him leverage some of their national infrastructure if they couldn't pay for the Pfizer. He just sold Pfizer to take a hike. And, boy, that upset the elites. Victoria Nuland, what bothered me most about Lula, and I had some respect for him, but when he started meeting with Victoria Nuland, that was a real red flag that all of a sudden Bolsonaro was suddenly the good guy because he had stood up to the Western elites. And, of course, that's one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of him. But in Brazil, it's a little more complicated. The military is still of a different persuasion than some of the civil authorities like the Supreme Court. So what's going on in the United States? I don't know what will happen, but I thought at one time the elites actually wanted a full-scale rebellion so they could call on the troops to put it down, even if it's violation of the Posse Comitatus. That's why they went after the Oath Keepers so hard, because the Oath Keepers, which, contrary to what people think, oh, it's a racist organization. No, it's not a racist organization. It's not a, far right. All it does is basically, on its homepage, it says, we believe that the officer's oath to the Constitution, not to the President of the United States, is what should matter. And we do not, believe that no officer in the United States military should fire on any American citizen unless the governor of that state calls in the military, which even they allow if it was called in by the governor. But the federal government should not override any governor in terms of quelling opposition. But there could be very well a military takedown. It could be quite serious if the economy goes downhill. I have a feeling that the economy is going to go down a lot more than the mainstream is talking about. And it bothers me because, anybody could have predicted this inflation was going to ramp up, 2 years ago. And it's like Jerome Powell's, we were caught off guard. Really? Maybe they're actually wanting that inflation. That's what bothers me. Maybe they want something to happen. We talked about the Great Reset. I don't know. But there's a lot of red flags out there, Jim. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess I'm a little more pessimistic, but there could be a new world order without the global elites, without the Western elites running it, depending on what happens in Ukraine. I don't know what Putin's mind is doing. I don't know what he's aiming for, but my feeling subjectively is that he's not going to give any quarter. It's going to be unconditional surrender, and he has all the assets, all the aces in his hand. So getting back to one other thing about John Fetterman.
No,
You remember in 1984 with the Walter Mondale, Ronald Reagan campaign, right?
Sure.
The election. Remember that second debate? Ronald Reagan was cruising to an easy victory. All of a sudden, Ronald Reagan sort of froze up. His mind was freezing up, seizing up. And all of a sudden, his lead dropped by 10 points. It wasn't even in the same league as what happened to Fetterman in that debate. But nevertheless, people got so alarmed at Reagan's state that people were thinking now Mondale actually has a chance, because it was so shocking how badly Reagan did. He sort of rallied with a few quips the last debate, and so he, you know, it wasn't a stellar performance intellectually, but he had some good jokes, and so it sort of lightened things up. But the fact that he would lose that many points off a performance that was far superior to Fetterman's makes it inconceivable that Fetterman could have won the election for senator from Pennsylvania. It's inconceivable.
No, oh, I think you're exactly right. I also agree about Vladimir Putin. He's not going to take any prisoners from this point on. He did everything he could to advise the West about Russia's legitimate national security concerns. Victoria Nuland had engineered the coup that brought about the displacement of a Russia-friendly president of Ukraine with a Western stooge. And from that point on in 2014, they began shelling the Donbass. Things got extremely worse for the ethnic Russians sympathetic to Russia in the Donbass. Thousands were being killed. Putin also learned about the biolabs, and of course that Ukraine was now talking about joining NATO. He'd made it very clear that was a red line that could not be crossed. In his magisterial speech of the 24th of February, the Empire of Lies speech, he laid out all the reasons and rationale, which were completely appropriate under international law. And now I believe he is going to systematically take out the Ukrainian military. And I do not see any alternative but to seize all of Ukraine and return it to its rightful place as a part of Russia, where it was Zbigniew Brzezinski who observed in his book, The Grand Chessboard, that separating Ukraine from Russia would greatly weaken the bear. Much more with William DeBerg when we return after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, just to briefly follow up on that announcement, I am back before the Supreme Court with a petition for a rehearing with new evidence. It's really rather stunning stuff. It includes not only the FEMA manual for the Sandy Hook event, but the Connecticut FEMA agenda, their schedule showing this exercise L-366 for the Sandy Hook event was right on their schedule. I also have an Appendix E where Brian Davidson, a licensed private investigator in Texas, has been going through the Connecticut State Police files on Sandy Hook, and he's discovered photograph after photograph that contradict the official account. For example, a photograph of a hallway where, according to the report, there were two bodies and pools of blood. The school principal and the psychologist, and not only are there no bodies, but not a speck of blood inside classroom 10, where we were supposed to have a stack of student bodies. Not only are there no bodies and no blood, there aren't even any student desks or chairs, no teacher desks, no American flag. In other words, he's unearthed evidence. Not only is there no proof of any mass murder having occurred there, but that it's pretty obvious it wasn't even an operating school. Not only that, but he's discovered that the Connecticut State Police have removed the metadata as to when and where the photographs were taken, illustrating a consciousness of guilt. All of this is in the hands of the Supreme Court, and they're going to be reviewing it on the 2nd of December during their conference, where if I get a minimum of 4 votes, they'll issue a writ of certiorari for my case to be fully briefed and heard before the full court. I'll learn of that on the 5th. Meanwhile, on the 3rd and the 4th is my 3rd annual False Flags and Conspiracies Conference with 26 presentations by 24 speakers. It's a fabulous lineup. You want to check it out. And I'm just hoping that following Monday on the 5th, when they announce their decision, it'll be a nice present, because on Tuesday I celebrate my 82nd birthday. William, I know you're chafing at the bit. Go ahead, add your thoughts.
Well, first of all, that's the birthday wishes to you, Jim, upcoming. hang in there. We need you. But as far as, you know, Sandy Hook, I wish you luck with the Supreme Court. And, you know, it's been a miscarriage of justice. But what you pointed out was very surprising, that in a way, as bad as the justice was delivered to you, the injustice, surprisingly, the Supreme Court's allowed states to vitiate jury trials, negate jury trials. I thought that was really astounding in the course of reading about some of your situations, that, you know, a judge can basically declare no evidence is needed and then not even have a jury on, you know, with a dictate, which I just found that quite amazing that a state like Wisconsin would allow that. But getting back to what you said, here's where I agree with you about where it's all going to start. The revolution, even if it's a peaceful revolution, it's going to start with Arizona, hopefully. Arizona was McCain country, but it's no longer. And it was, you know, I think he never really had the popularity of the mainstream. The mainstream media turned him into a demigod. Especially with his funeral, more than, and you know, really a lot of presidents have enjoyed all the ritual and pageantry and all that sort of stuff. But Kelly Ward ran against him for the last Senate election, and she could very well have beaten McCain. But Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who now I started questioning, why was he in that race? He basically siphoned a lot of votes away from Kelly Ward, and she ended up not being able to knock off McCain. He was reelected, but died shortly thereafter. But Kelly Ward became the chairman of the Arizona Republican Party. And she, I think, was what put the teeth into the Republican Party. She was at odds with Governor Ducey. All those people that ran on the electoral integrity slate, Carrie Lake and Pinchem and all those guys, they were, you know, in her camp. The elites have done everything they can to get her out of that chairmanship. She barely won the last time. They're throwing a lot of money at her. She's under, as you know, subpoenas to release this and that. And they're doing everything to harass her and defeat her. But she has given teeth to the Arizona Republican Party, which you don't find in too many other states. Now, I have to say this, that in Florida, they have cleaned up a lot of the voting. They still have a ways to go. Texas, they've strained it. Ken Paxton is the attorney general, you know, and I don't agree with him on every issue, but in terms of voter integrity, he's you know, tough as a nail. And so in Texas, the Democrats, led by Beto O'Rourke, they got massacred. Every one of them statewide lost 10 to 15 points. In Florida, every one of them lost 15 to 20 points. These were at one time Democratic states. And now the Democrats are basically, you know, I wouldn't even say they're competitive anymore. So that's what happens when you don't create mass mail-in balloting systems where you have photo IDs and things like that. In North Carolina, Democrats and Republicans have done very well despite the Democratic governor because they have enacted photo ID laws and all. But these states where you have no photo ID laws, you have mass mail-in balloting and all, and no oversight of the tabulation machines, then you're going to just, you know, continue to get this fraud election after election. But what we can say is sort of stabilized, that Democrats now have a little bit of an electoral edge, but they haven't been able to infiltrate any other states. Now, what has to be done, in my opinion, you should do away with machines altogether. Hand counting of all ballots watermarked, electronic ID'd with scan codes and things like that. Minimal use of mail-in balloting. And in Pennsylvania, I don't know if you read where they actually went to a nursing home, got 100 votes out of the nursing home. You know, it was massive ballot harvesting in Pennsylvania. And in Australia, when I was living there, they actually, the government goes into the nursing homes. Okay, the government often goes around picking up votes from people in their homes. This ballot harvesting situation and all, the vast majority of Americans can walk to the polls, okay, or drive to the polls. There's no need for mail-in balloting. And those few that do legitimately have that need, they could be enough controls over, and even government efforts to pick up those votes. But this ballot harvesting has got to end, and it's got to end quickly if we're ever going to restore our electoral system. So there are things that can be done, but some states are going to continue to be free, have voter integrity, and other states, if they don't change their systems, you can kiss them goodbye. They're just going to do, you know, year after year of fraud. And I think the fraudsters are going to get a little more sophisticated. They were caught off guard. I don't doubt that there was fraud in 2016. Dade and Broward counties created a massive Democratic advantage. I remember, I think it's Chris O'Donnell on MSNBC. His father was a ward, part of the Philly machine. And he looked at the totals for Hillary out of Philly. He said, wow, this is the largest Democratic victory ever in Philly. That should be enough to put her over the top. They had prepared for the election of 2016 to go to Hillary. However, what they didn't do, they gave their votes too early. The Democratic areas sent their votes in too early, and they couldn't change them. And that's one thing down here in Texas Lyndon Johnson knew. He was beaten by fraud, and he was probably given a Senate seat by fraud. But you always held your votes, your key votes, to the end. You know, they made a mistake in 2016. They didn't make the same mistake in 2018. 2020, they caught Carr off guard because they had planned it all out. But then Trump won by way more than they ever thought. They had to recalibrate everything, send in more fake ballots and get the computers doing all this other extra tabulations. And that's why at 4 a.m. all these states shut down, because everything had to be recalibrated. Trump was winning by too much. And so that's what Mike Lindell calls the miracles. Two miracles in 2021. Trump won by such a huge margin. Secondly, they had to overcome him. They had to expose themselves dramatically and leave a massive trail of fraud. But wherever you go, I listen to NPR now and then, and all they talk about, the lie about election fraud, the lie about, it's a big, massive lie. And, it burns me up because I saw it on TV. I saw it, you know, when it happened.
We all saw it, William, on TV when it happened. Absolutely 100%. I agree with everything you've just said. 16 was massively rigged for Hillary. They didn't count on the massive vote coming in from rural areas. Where they can rig the vote is where the votes are in the big cities, but they didn't count on that popular uprising for Trump. Tucker even has been observing how these delays are being used to manipulate the vote. Listen to part of what he had to say of late.
A lot more than half of the entire population of the entire state of Arizona lives in Maricopa County. The cities of Mesa, Tempe, Scottsdale, and largest of all, Phoenix, are all within the county's borders. If you want to win statewide in Arizona, you have to win Maricopa County. Unfortunately, as of tonight, we still don't know who has won Maricopa County, either in the U.S. Senate race there or in the governor's race in Arizona, because officials are not even close to finishing the count. 48 hours after the voting stopped, there are still 633,000 ballots still uncounted in Arizona. More than 400,000 of those are in Maricopa County. You're seeing it on your screen right now. When will we know the results? Last night, election officials claimed they'd have a new tally for us by 8 p.m. Eastern, the beginning of our show. But the deadline came and went. By the end of the night, they had finished counting fewer than 70,000 more votes. Then they said they'd have final totals by Friday, tomorrow. But no. Today, the county officials said they don't expect to announce the results of the elections until next week at the earliest.
When do you anticipate the votes will be counted in total, those 400,000 plus votes?
Well, we will be going into next week. There's some onesie twosies, again, pursuant to Arizona law. But I think that we'll see the lion's share here wrap up by early next week.
Early next week, can you give me a day? We're talking Monday?
Maybe. As long as you won't hold me to it.
Now, others have observed that the whole reason for dragging it out, and if you don't get your total announced the very day of the election, you're toast, is so they can subtract, you know, they know how many votes they have to work with. They can subtract those supporting the candidate they want to lose and add those supporting the candidate they want to win. Now, I have a report here from a well-known blogger who seems to have been snapped into the actual theft of the election as it was taking place in real time. I'd like to share part of this and then get William's thought. And after that, we'll open the lines to the to callers.
Across the entire country, in almost every race, that popping up like you would not believe. Hats off to whoever put that program together. I don't even think I would have been able to do such a thing. It was a, I look forward to the day to find out who put that together. Another interesting thing that I noticed while watching this was every time there was an alert and you would go to the state and then go to the race and see what the yellow, you know, flashing alert was, it would give you an explanation as to what the irregularity was that the program was picking up. Right. And then next to it, whoever the operator was that had the ability to move the you know, mouse around or the cursor around, there was an archive button. He would hit the archive button and it would record that event into a log. And the log would have all of these occurrences of the supposed election fraud. It would put down the time, the irregularity, the state, the race, and there was a place for comments too. I remember the operator was actually typing in comments in that section. And the operator's job, now I don't know if there was one operator or more than one. There's no way for me to know that. But the operator's job was to seemingly monitor this, or multiple operators, monitor this, report the logs, and then give them to, I have to think, the military. You may be asking yourself, well, why were you there? Well, I have a little bit of a background. I make no mystery about that I have a background. The mystery is around, well, what is your background? That's private for now. The interesting thing about this entire situation is that even though I'm going to have to say that it was the military, some sort of military intelligence operation that was watching all this happen. Even though they had the ability to do this, they still allowed the elections to occur, seemingly, presumably, to catch them. Now, where do they go from here with that information? I'm sure they could go a bunch of different ways with that information. But they still allowed the elections to occur. But there were certain precincts that certain races that they allowed it to occur in, and then other races they did not allow it to occur in. Let me give you one example. Florida was not even on the list. Nothing in Florida populated at all. There was no Florida tap. There are no Florida alerts. Florida was not there. You had open and fair and honest elections in only one state that I could see, and that was Florida. The results of Florida are the results of Florida. That is how many votes each of those candidates got. Every other state had stuff going on. Why Florida? I don't know. I guess we could speculate on that, but I truly do not know. But it seemed, knowing that Florida wasn't there and seeing the things that I saw, it seemed as though whoever the good guys are, whoever these white hats are that put this program together, they knew it was going to happen. They allowed it to happen in some places, most places. But other places, they did not. Now, what does that tell you? Here's what it tells me. It tells me that they knew it was going to occur. They wanted it to happen, so they allowed it to occur. But to a certain extent, they were not going to still allow the House of Representatives and the Senate to to be in Democratic control. They knew we had to get that majority. So they limited the fraud to where they knew it was not going to affect the next phase of this plan. Does that make sense? So it makes sense to me, but sometimes I know what I'm trying to say. Sometimes I just don't say it that way. They needed to catch them, but they couldn't lose the election's main goal. And the main goal of the election was to take the House and take the Senate and flip a lot of governor seats, right? Some governor seats they don't care about. A lot of those we talked about this many months ago. Newsom, Whitmer, Shapiro, and other governors that had no business winning their elections, they won anyway. Schumer, wait until you see the fraud in Schumer's election. It's Schumer. I don't think Schumer got 500,000 votes from what I saw. That was lighting up all night long. If I had to just render a guess as to who one of the most involved corrupt politicians are behind this election fraud, Chuck Schumer is at very close to the top of my list. Why? Because his election was completely fraudulent, and I mean not even close. There were all sorts of irregularities in that election. He won by a ton. He got a ton of votes. No one wants to elect that guy. So he has to over-cheat to make sure that the great amount of votes that are coming in against him aren't enough to actually take him out of office. You had some people that we needed out of office, the White Hats needed out of office. And you could say, well, that's cheating. The White Hats are cheating too. No, it's not. They're cheating. They're not letting our actual votes go through. So we are stopping the cheating in some areas to make sure that we get control of the House and letting the actual votes come through. Now, in some districts, in some races, we allowed actual votes to go through. And guess what? Our candidates lost. We didn't win every single race that we thought we were going to win. But we did know, seemingly, we did know where they were going to cheat. Obviously, how they were going to cheat. We knew their algorithms. And you know, it poses another question. How did we know what their algorithms were going to be? Well, we had 2020 as a template. We knew exactly what they did in 2020. We had 2 years now to reverse engineer their algorithms, put them into this program. That's probably how the program got made. Now I'm talking myself into it being easy. I could probably do it now. I know exactly what they did. They got the 2020 algorithms. They got the playbook from how they stole the 2020 election. They put all that in a nice little tight little ball, threw it into a program and said, okay, let's watch it occur again. We know they're going to do it. Let's watch it. Let's archive it. Let's send it away. Who are they sending it to? I don't know. But this time, they got caught. And I know they got caught because I saw it with my own eyes. Where does this go from here? What is the next step? What do you think it would be? What do you think the next step would be if what I'm saying is true? And I don't know if you could tell, like, what do you guys think? Like, I just sit here and make up stories that are this involved and this in depth, and I want to tell like a story to everybody. Like, no. So if you think what I'm saying is true, and you have the right to not believe me, it's okay. I don't mind, you know, I'm totally fine with dissenting opinions. I have no problem with that at all. There's going to be a lot of people with egg on their face, especially Will Byrd. I don't think he cares that much, but here's what it is. You know, everybody has the opinion to voice their opinion. I'm voicing mine. He could voice his. Jordan Sather could be a little bitch. Whatever. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is, if you believe, here we go with this thing again. If you believe what I'm saying, what do you think happens next? Where does that information go to? Who has it? Who set this up? And it can't be Trump. It has to be a lot bigger than that. It can't be, you know, Ezra. Can't be Scavino. It has to be a major, major power player level entity. And there's only one group that fits that description. I have to take a quick phone call. I will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Let me just say, he was talking about, and this is it's an hour and a half or more long, where he's going through and describing what he witnessed about the theft of the election all over the country. It's very consistent with Roger Stone's observation that this appeared to him to be the first completely manufactured election in our history. Completely manufactured election in our history, where, they were rigging the vote in all 50 of the states. That nevertheless, Florida was allowed to go forward. There could be possible multiple explanations here. DeSantis has imposed all kinds of laws against voter theft. You require voter ID. You have to have most of it is same day voting and all that. So Florida does appear to have had a clean election and would have been an exemplar of what we ought to have had across virtually all of the 50 states had it about been allowed to go forward. Now, William, you brought up Brazil. Now, Brazil in the Constitution, the army can intervene in Brazil under their Constitution if they suspect something's wrong. And they are doing so. That's happening here. And he was seeming to imply that he thought this survey, this recording of all the theft of the election was actually being carried out by the U.S. Army. Unfortunately, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, is a complete scoundrel, in my opinion, and unqualified. Back with William DeBerg, and we'll take your calls after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before I bring William back in, let me add the number, of course, to call in, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Let me also make a philosophical point. We know the truth is that which corresponds to reality. In other words, a sentence is true when what it asserts to be the case is the case. If, for example, someone asserts the midterm election of 2022 was massively stolen. That will be true if and only if the midterm election of 2022 was massively stolen. Now, the question becomes, how do we know what is the truth? This is the criterion of truth. What is our standard? And while I go into much more elaborate analysis about reasoning, especially applying scientific reasoning, roughly speaking, it's the coherence of the evidence we have available, the coherence of the evidence, how it all fits together, that is our criterion or measure of what we take to be the case. And it requires separating fake or fabricated evidence from real. But in this case, when you discover a lot of votes have been manufactured, that's a form of fakery that reveals what's going on, since obviously that's indispensable. The point I'm making is this. All the evidence we're recording here, what happened in Maricopa, what happened in Pennsylvania, the overall result, when everything was leading to a red wave, all the evidence put together with the indications of fraud show that the election of 2022 was massively stolen. And this comes right down to Roger Stone's suggestion that this appeared to him to be the first completely manufactured. He mean the whole thing from beginning to end, as though they were verifying or manipulating every single vote. That is consistent with a blogger's report of having witnesses take place in real time, where he's giving us all this coheres. And I suggest, therefore, we do have a good idea of the big picture. William, your thoughts.
First of all, Jim, who do you have the name? Was this person identified? I didn't catch his name, or was he not identified?
It's like Will Wojcinski. Let me see if I can find it, because a friend of mine knows him, has watched his work before. But keep going. Just talk on the assumption.
Yeah, okay. If you could shoot me an email later, maybe, so I can just look him up. Look, let me say where I disagree with him, and then I'll talk about where I agree. I don't think Florida was the only state where there was legitimate voting. Here in Texas, they have the same procedures, maybe even tighter than in Florida. Democrats got, you know, shellacked here too. Lots of states, there's clear and free elections. However, he is right that certain, I think the elites realize now they're not going to get some of these big states, but they can, all they have to do is get a majority of the electoral votes. And if they hold two of those three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, they can win. And that's why those governorships were very important. They threw a lot of money into those. And that's where, you know, yes, he's right about Shapiro. I think even Shapiro, not just Fetterman, but Shapiro may have been the winner by a lot of subterfuge and fraud. Arizona, they want because they're scared that Arizona could be the wildfire that spreads to the rest of the country. And it's an insurance policy for them. Now, as far as the White Hats go, yes, there's people that are doing amazing work with the computer systems and monitoring this stuff, more so than even in 2022. Although, you know, in 2022, they were following this train of communications and all to Europe with Leonardo SPA in Italy and some of these other places. And it was believed that maybe the White Hats were going to intervene. Well, what they knew or who knew it, it didn't happen. And so in my third novel, actually, I talk about how the military, high-ranking generals and admirals actually realize what's going on, and they turn the tables on the, you know, the global elites that are trying to, you know, destroy the American democracy. And I remember one person who read my book, and he had done a lot of work consulting the Senate leadership, and knew the Washington establishment inside and out. He said, William, you're too optimistic about the type of generals we have now. And, you know, Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin, they're not going to be the types that are going to be the White Hats. I don't know where the White Hats are, how much power they have or anything like that. But yes, I believe there are White Hats and they are collecting a lot of information, but I don't know how much power they have. I don't know if you knew this, Jim. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, if you go back to Oklahoma City, and you have never really done a lot with Oklahoma City, but there was that great movie, A Noble Lie, in which they you know, shredded the whole official narrative of, you know, this truck bomb with Timothy McVeigh and all that. It was bombed from within, and the bombs were, you know, set off. They found bombs that hadn't gone off. So it was a planned event. The lead prosecutor for that sort of show trial in Oklahoma City was none other than Merrick Garland. He'd been around these deep staters for decades now, and that's how they operate. They move them up through the system. But, you know, it would be nice if you could say there are White Hats that are looking out for us. In Brazil, as you say, the military has a different role, and they have the power, actually, and perhaps the will to overturn this election. But in this country, I don't think we can count on the military to save us. You know, and I just don't know. Maybe things are going to have to get a lot worse. And a lot of African-Americans, as they use this expression, get off the plantation and start voting and seeing, as a lot of them are now. And Mexican-Americans are drifting more towards the Republicans. But again, what does it mean to drift towards the Republicans if you have Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy as the leaders of the Republicans, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, by the way, it's called The Catch. Intel source shows it explained. I know his first name is Phil. I think it's something like Wojcinski. It's on my blog. It's on my blog at James at BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Let me see if I can pull up his specific name.
I'll look it up and see a little bit more about this individual. But I just don't know how many White Hats there are. I believe there are White Hats, and you probably agree with that. But I just don't know how many and how powerful they are. And what are they waiting for? Maybe they're waiting for the right moment. I don't know.
It's something like Godlewski, Phil Godlewski appears to be the name. Now, the point I'm making is that even if we are uncertain of the source of an idea, we need to evaluate the idea on its own merits. And by the way, it's called The Catch, and you can find it on my blog. It's right there available at BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Let's see, the date of the post is November 16th. It's up. And I just say, you know, believe it or not, at your own discretion, but it seems to me what he's reporting, especially in relation to the theft of the election, coheres with everything else we know. James Wood, by the way, summed it up nicely. Final thoughts on the election. One side elected a dead guy, a brain-damaged guy, and has engineered the worst economy and border catastrophe in a century. Its leader can't read a teleprompter nor answer a question coherently. Yet the other side still lost. The end. Here's an earlier. James Carville said his party would have lost 57 seats, but it was saved by Donald Trump. Nonsense. They were saved by mass mail-in voting and ballot harvesting. That's a fundamental difference between today and 2010, when Republicans won 63 seats during Obama's first midterm. The other narrative being tossed around is Republicans had poor candidates again. This is to be expected, since many are using the election to attack former President Trump, but it's a foolish take. You'll never have perfect candidates in every race, but across the board, Republican candidates were far superior to those the Democrats put up, with only a couple of exceptions. Daniel succinctly described the problem this way. While I've seen plenty of postmortems already, the single biggest issue that wrapped the wave was mail-in voting combined with ballot harvesting, which all but eliminated Republican hopes in states where Democrats control the voting rules. And of course, William, I agree with you 100%. About returning to paper ballots and hand counts. Get rid of the voting machines, which were only introduced to steal election. They have no other role. And obviously, as Tucker observed, they've long outlived their usefulness. Tucker has called for them to be abolished. And he's like the most sane, rational, objective voice on television today in the mainstream and cable media. Your further thoughts?
Well, yes, Tucker has taken a lot of abuse, but he's one of the only ones that's really hitting us hard. I was going to comment on something you were talking about there. Republicans should have won a loss, and they had certainly decent candidates. I mean, look, I have to admit, I don't know, Herschel Walker didn't seem like the most stellar candidate, but Raphael Warnock didn't seem like the most stellar candidate either. So Georgia was, you know, really, dueling with perhaps less than stellar candidates. I don't know of any issues about the other candidates. You're saying Blake Masters wasn't? He was a top businessman and, in the entrepreneurial world. He certainly was very capable. Adam Laxalt from the Laxalt family heritage in Nevada. Dr. Oz, Norman Oz, I mean, he's one of the probably most brilliant persons to run for the Senate, and not coming from the political sphere, but he certainly knows people. The notion that they didn't have strong candidate. Kelly Sheba up in Alaska, who McConnell didn't support, she was very capable. McConnell was the one that said, we don't have high-quality candidates. We're going to lose this election. He knew it in advance. He knew that the Republicans were going to go down, and that's why I think a lot of people, including Trump, were just such animosity towards Mitch McConnell. But
that appears to me to have been a dishonest statement from Mitch McConnell. He ought to have been supporting all those candidates. He's been very resistant to Trump, as has so much of the Republican establishment. So you have really an alignment of the establishment members of both parties against Trump because he represents a populist movement they fear. Trump really represents a real democratic movement in America, and they don't like it because they threaten the gravy train that has benefited them for decade upon decade upon decade.
The question is, will Trump form a political party of his own? A lot of people have suggested it. Josh Hawley suggested that we need a new political party, but that would be self-defeating. I think Trump still feels he's just going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting, and he's eventually going to win over the Republican Party. It may take a lot of societal decline and things like that. But one thing you should never underestimate, Donald Trump, he has been the subject of almost every two impeachment attempts, 25th Amendment, all sorts of legal issues. He's also been, I don't know if you mentioned it too much in your podcasts and all, but he's been the target of numerous assassination attempts too. But the guy's still standing. No one else could stand this way except Donald Trump. Everybody else would have been mowed down. Every single black person. The fact that he's still standing is, you know, a frustration to the elites. Chuck Schumer told him once, "You'd better play ball with us because we have six ways to sundown." Well, they've tried a couple dozen ways to sundown. He's still standing. He's not down. He's not dead yet. And so he's a frustration, and they don't know how to deal with him. But he has not been able to take over the Republican Party because people like Mitch McConnell deliberately sabotaged the people that were pro-Trump. And excellent senatorial. He didn't give any money to Mehmet Oz. Didn't give any money to Blake Masters. And, you know, I don't know how much he gave to Blake Adam Laxalt. But anybody that was supportive of Trump, he basically, Kelly Sheba, he went after a fellow Republican, chose sides, which is extremely unusual in a nonpartisan race. But he is, and then he got reelected. And I'm just wondering, here's maybe the final thing I'd like to say, Jim, is I often wonder, what makes these senators, why do they allow this to happen? Everybody in the Senate knows there's massive cheating. Everybody knows it. But they let this go on. Now, I have to say this, that people think, oh, you know, there's no supporters of the Democrats. But down here in my neighborhood, there were lots and lots of Beto signs. Now, my neighborhood probably still votes slightly pink. But, you know, every Democrat in the Senate was putting out a Beto sign. You know, when I listened to NPR, I realized if people listen to NPR and some of these networks, when they show Joe Biden, they don't show him the way the alternative media would, making all these blunders and these cognitively frail statements and just basically demented sort of behavior. They show him only with these bold statements, and, you know, of course, it's all edited heavily and all this sort of stuff. If that's what people hear, they don't think Biden's as bad off as he really is. But he's really seriously demented. And so there are people out there that still support the Democrats, but there's not enough of them to carry an election anymore in most states. And that's where the fraud has to come in. So I don't know what's going to happen. I've quit trying to predict the future, but I think Vladimir Putin is going to tear down Western Europe, and the United States will be pulled down as well. And the question is, what's going to happen? That could be the way to pay for a new world order. I don't know. The new world order that Bush talked about isn't going to be with the United States in the lead. It may not even be, and, you know, at the table for all we know.
Well, no less an authority than Jacob Rothschild, whom Henry Mackow was citing, has declared that Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the New World Order, which cannot proceed without Ukraine. So my take has been that he is actually fighting a fight for all of humanity, not just for Russia, but for us all, and that he's the only true statesman astride the world stage today.
Yeah, I think he basically trapped the elites. They came into the Ukraine conflict with a pair of deuces, hoping to get something out of the draw. Vladimir Putin started off with better cards and even ended up with better cards after that. And the West should have folded early on, probably after that first night when everything was, you know, the airfields were destroyed, the command and control centers. But they're desperate to hold on to what they have. And Vladimir Putin in Syria and other places stands in their way. And he also stands in the way of them going after China. As long as Vladimir Putin's there, China's protected. And so they need to get rid of Putin. But as Colonel Douglas McGregor talks about, we don't have the forces anymore. Our military cannot take on the Russians in their own backyard. NATO is, you know, the French only have a couple days of ammunition. The German army is basically non-existent. And there's just not enough troops in NATO and enough armaments to take on the Russians if the Russians really want to win. And so what is NATO going to do? I don't think it's going to end well for NATO. I don't think they have any they're going to have to fold eventually, but they keep delaying this by this ridiculous PSYOPs war with all this fake stuff. And I don't know how long it's going to last, But when the Ukraine surrenders, when Europe falls, then that's going to be, the blowback is going to be tremendous for the West, including the United States. So I don't know.
Well, the sanctions have so massively backfired on the European countries. I mean, they're facing a winter of freezing, starvation, no food, no energy. I can't imagine a dumber policy being employed. I mean, many believe the war in Ukraine was provoked to prevent the Nord Stream 2 from beginning with Germany, because it was going to initiate a new era of peace and prosperity, commercial transaction, Russia providing cheap gas to Europe. Europe benefited therefrom by cordial relation with Russia. It would have illustrated that NATO is an anachronism. We don't need to expend all that money on defense. Russia is our companion. Russia is our collaborator. And the war, therefore, was intended to put an end to all of it. And even the taking out of the pipeline, which was an international war crime that appears to have been conducted by the UK, but at the behest of the United States, was just outrageous. Russia has far superior military equipment across the board than NATO and America. William, you're spot on about that. And if push came to shove, Russia could take out the U.S. far more rapidly and effectively than the U.S. could possibly. Russia, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's something that surprisingly nobody asked General Milley. How come we are years behind in our hypersonic missile capability, years behind in our underwater supercavitating missile capabilities? Well, why are we so far behind the Russians with a much smaller economy? But here's one thing I want to throw out, Jim. One thing that could happen is that the elites may they've had enormous cohesion. The Anglo-American financial empires had enormous cohesion, led groups that have been enormously cohesive for decades now, ever since World War II. And the question is, how long is that going to last? You take a guy like Elon Musk, who has benefited from the elite, okay? He got a lot of what he got from generosity from the United States government and other places. He seems to be starting to go his own way a little bit. Now, it could be for show, I don't know. But the point is, if enough elites start realizing, hey, we're really going down the wrong path, they may turn on each other. And that will be another way that a lot of stuff will open up. A lot of information will flow. A lot of people will turn on one another. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it could if the conditions get really bad in Western Europe and the United States. So we'll see.
William, you've been a wonderful guest, extremely articulate, just bristling with information, data, facts, opinions. I love it all. Why don't you tell the public, my audience, a bit about yourself, your books, where they can learn more about you?
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and be able to be with you on your shows. I am a scientist, but I've always had an interest in geopolitics and all, and I started to write fiction in 2011. My first novel about the Bilderbergers and 9/11 and all was in 2013. What really transformed me was reading about what was happening in Libya. And for the first time, I realized that nothing of what we're getting in the Western media is the way it actually happens. And that really was a big eye-opener. I eventually wrote three other novels dealing with stolen gold, Yamashita's gold, and the occult financial system. Then, as I said, the third novel was about the a military sort of counter-coup to restore the White Hats, restoring democracy and transparency in American government. This last one was more sci-fi, dealing with one of your topics as well, the Apollo moon landing, and but it's also getting into cosmic threats out there. It's very scientific, but it's it also gets into some of those conspiracies as well. But Jim, I've fed off a lot of what I remember we and Veterans Today for a long time ago, and I've fed off your ideas, and I just admire that. I don't agree with you, as you know, on every issue, but I admire you for being out front. You know, you're our leader, you're a stalwart, and I wish you the best with your case before the Supreme Court. I hope someone has some human decency and respect for the truth that will actually allow you to be heard.
Well, I appreciate all that, William, tremendously. You're a very strong intellect, very independent in your research and thoughts, and I greatly appreciate those forms of support. I have been at this for quite a while. I think the mainstream, I think the controlled courts may have done themselves in by absurdities such as fining Alex Jones $1 billion for an opinion. I mean, it's obvious these trials, none of which have been resolved on the basis of the merits, none of which have ever gone to a jury for a determination of the facts, have gone so far beyond the pale. They have reflected so badly on the American judiciary and their attempt to demonize anyone who raises the least doubt about an official narrative, especially one so manifestly absurd as Sandy Hook. When you actually look into it, Alex was being pilloried during one of his interviews. He said, "I'm not the guy about Sandy Hook." And they apparently never asked him who was the guy, but clearly he meant me. I sought to intervene in all of these cases to point out there's never been a judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook. And I was opposed not only by the plaintiffs, the fake Sandy Hook parents, which was to be expected, but also by the defendants. I volunteered to be an expert witness in Alex Jones' case. They did not want that, even in Remington. I sought to intervene in that case as well. But the insurance company preferred to shell out $73 million and have Jim Fetzer come in and explain how it had been an elaborate hoax. They expect to receive a massive return on their investment when guns have to be insured. They're going to get billions, hundreds of billions of benefits from that. William DeBerg, wonderful. I can't thank you enough for being here. Everyone, spend as much time with your family. We do not know how much time we have left.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. I'm going to sign off now. Good luck.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and